Kiss on the way you count it to six.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 30, the big, dirty, flirty 30 episode of the Diz Unlimited podcast, coming to you live from the studio that dreams built. I'm Rhino, and joining me in this fun Disney discussion today is Hannah Anderson.
Hey, friends.
Craig Williams.
Oh, hoy hoy.
And before we get started, I want to remind everybody that everything that we do here is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. They are experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. And when you book with them, it costs you nothing extra on your trip, and you help support the channel and all the content that we produce here. So head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com to get a free no obligation quote today. It is also brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you want to learn more about how you can get some exclusive Diz content from various members of the team, including the Patreon post show that happens immediately following this broadcast, you can head over to Patreon.com/DizUnlimited. I almost said Dreams Unlimited Travel again. Mm-hmm. If you are joining us during our live stream on YouTube, to all who come to this chatty place, welcome. The live stream is your land. Please take a second and hit that thumbs up. Make sure that you're subscribed to the channel and hit that bell so you're notified whenever we release new videos. Hey, how was everyone's weekend? I know it was a big weekend. It was both Star Wars and both for Star Wars fans and margarita fans. I celebrated Star Wars Day on May the 4th, and I was a typical white person and had a margarita on Cinco de Mayo, which I know technically commemorates the Mexican victory over the French Empire on May 5th, 1862, and not margaritas. But Craig and I have a longstanding tradition. Yeah. Where we have to get margaritas.
So did you guys do that this weekend?
We did.
Oh, was baby Rory there too?
He was. And guess what he said to me? Fish. And I said, I don't care for you talking. I don't want to hear it.
But he normally calls you by your name. So you guys are close. You know,
I don't think he's seen that movie yet.
Oh, probably not. Probably a good idea.
It was good though. I thought it was pretty solid. No, did you get sick after?
No. I'm all fine. Yeah, so
we have a tradition of basically getting sick afterwards because we keep going to the wrong places. But I think we did pretty good this year. We got nice. I meant to bring those cups in that we got because we went to Chewy's, and do their special Cinco de Mayo margarita, it always comes in like a plastic cup, and they were like the appropriate size cup this year.
You know, nothing more authentic about celebrating Cinco de Mayo than by going to Chewy's. A Tex-Mex restaurant.
Yep, yeah, I know. But I mean, who doesn't love Chewy's? You know that creamy jalapeno.
Oh, we had quite a few creamy jalapeno.
That's
dips.
All you need, baby. Happy hour margaritas and you're set.
I just want to say I'm very proud of Rhino for I didn't write most of the stuff in the script so far that he said. So he took this show on his own.
I wrote that down too so that I wouldn't forget.
Yeah,
so,
I love that.
I was typing in here for like an hour, but it was nice and peaceful.
That's cool. Well,
and now you guys are here, unfortunately. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh, I showed up late, so maybe next year. Can I come next year for Cinco de Mayo?
Well, you were in Key West, so
I'm like fresh in from the Keys. Spoiler alert: they're not close to Orlando, so but I had a couple margaritas on Cinco de Mayo, and I will just tell you, I kind of knew this, but taking a toddler Duval Street, it hits different, especially on Cinco de Mayo. So anyways, we had a good time.
That's good. I know Craig went as well, but we dipped into the park for May the 4th to see what was going on. And obviously our friend Brooke was here to say hi to her. And it was one of those situations where it was so busy that and it wasn't like there was anything really special going on. There was a couple of merch releases, but nothing like major. No. It was like backpacks and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it was just flooded with people to the point where I'm like, if they're here on May the 4th, imagine if they had done a Star Wars night like they do at Disneyland, you know, or you're an after hours event at Hollywood Studios that is themed that you could still do the rest of the park. But, you know, if they're not going to bring back Star Wars weekends, which I don't think they ever will.
That's like one of my that's my Roman Empire is Star Wars weekends. I wish they would bring that back.
Well, I watched The Phantom Menace on Revenge of the Fifth on Sunday in the movie theater.
Probably Sith Lords.
And it's funny, because there's a scene when they're pod racing. I don't know if you're familiar with this pod racing. You heard of it? that there was a character that was like an assassin that's like up watching it in the ravine, and I'm like, that lady used to come out at Star Wars weekends all the time. Remember her really long fingers creeping on by? And then when I got home, I watched Attack of the Clones, another masterpiece, and it had Zam in the beginning, and she used to come out at Star Wars weekends. I was like, man, I really miss those random characters and people going around going, who are you? What are you from? Like, you know, and like trying to remember what movie it was from. But have not watched Revenge of the Sith yet since then, but hopefully tonight. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Three. Last night I just got in too late. But you know, that's it. Craig, you've been quiet. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm gonna practice today. Awesome. I have nothing good to say about my time at Disney's Hollywood Studios on Saturday. So
I know. Yeah.
I'd rather say nothing at all. And that's actually not true. My best experience that I had there was I don't have it to show, but we have the most joyous photo of Rory that we have taken yet.
Aww.
Because sometimes, I guess, when the Fantasmic cast members get in a little bit early, they start doing magical moments right by Mickey's of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, in the character
area, and they come out. And so we timed it right where Grumpy and Dopey came out, as well as Geppetto and Pinocchio.
Nice.
And Geppetto locked on to Rory instantly and like saw that his shirt was kind of lifted up like it normally is, and went in for a full tickle attack, and Rory like lost it and just loved it. And
is there a photo pass cast member, or did you
it wasn't it? Mike was there.
Oh,
and
nice,
he was
nice.
Snapping photos of it. Nice. Mike from Blog Mickey. So he got like some of the best photos of Rory. And Pinocchio, he wasn't as good. I don't know, maybe it's he looks at me and he's like, well, you'll probably be Geppetto in like 6 years.
Oh my gosh.
I think by that point my hair is going to be white, and I'm going to have a big bushy mustache.
Well, you probably will be walking around in your lederhosen.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Well, you haven't. I mean, that's what I technically am wearing. The shirt, my awesome Donald shirt, that's
it
from
is
here
awesome.
Up.
But I love that.
Down below, it's all hoosin.
It's all the hoosin. We're having brats after this. Well, that's enough of this witty banner. I wanted people to know our personalities before we dived in here.
Because like each other.
It's okay. We only lost like 100 in that time.
It's fine. So we're down to negative 10. Just kidding. But am I? No, anyway, we do have a little bit of we've got some news. This first part's going to be just a little bit of dense. We almost never cover financials anymore because the earnings call usually happens right after we record our live shows. And then that news is a week old. But the second quarter 2024 earnings call was this morning, and Disney is feeling pretty good about themselves. And hopefully all of you are feeling pretty good about yourself today, too. I hope that. But so here we go. Brace yourself. I'm going to read this financial information right meow. Experiences and streaming were in the driver's seat of all of this. So with experiences having a revenue growth of 10% and segment operating income growth of 12% versus second quarter 2023. The increase in operating income at domestic parks and experiences was due to higher results at Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line, partially offset by lower results at Disneyland Resort. The higher results from Walt Disney World were due to increased guest spending attributable to higher average ticket prices and higher costs due to inflation, partially offset by lower depreciation and cost-saving initiatives. I don't really know what that part means, but Disneyland showed an increase in guest spending and showed attendance growth, but cost inflation and wage expenses chipped away at that growth. Well, there it is. I promise I'm not going to torture anybody else. That was kind of really all I had to say, but
yeah.
I don't really understand that last part.
I mean, so the basic overview of it is, especially with Walt Disney World, that Walt Disney World helped out a lot because of the higher ticket costs, and that's and more guest spending. So that's good. And then, but you know, obviously, there wasn't enough to completely offset everything that was coming in with it. Disneyland was a different story, where they said like part of that actually having a negative impact on experiences was they actually had higher attendance and higher spending, but there was a lot of extra wages that there were a lot of extra expenses that came in, including like the wages for the cast members that kind of chipped away at those overall profits. And then the weirdest part is they said that Disney Cruise Line helped contribute to the growth because of their ticket prices. And I'm like, what ticket prices for Disney Cruise Line? Did someone in the accounting, whoever prepared this, this entire presentation, I'm like, have they taken a cruise before? Because I don't think we're buying tickets.
Yeah.
We're not buying tickets to the Titanic. Titanic.
Well, I was just going to say, one ticket for the Titanic, please.
One of their biggest movies of all time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Disney had a hand in making it.
Yeah.
But that's what kids will grow up thinking, I think, but it's fine.
It may be. So, no, it's overall, it's good news. There's a lot coming in the next quarter for financials that they talked about, including Lighthouse Point, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. There's a lot in the future there. Honestly, I was taken aback. It just seems like lately Walt Disney World has kind of been in the conversation as, you know, everything that else that's been happening internationally and with Disney Cruise Line is then slightly offset by Walt Disney World with lower attendance after the 50th anniversary celebration was over, et cetera, et cetera. And now it seems like Walt Disney World is back to being a little bit of a winner. So hopefully we can continue that trend invest more in Walt Disney World.
For sure, 100%. And the thing that I think is kind of important to, I'd say, like, pay attention to this because we're going to talk about some stuff later, is the lower results at Disneyland Resort. And then it also said, what did it say? Lower increase in guest spending and attendance growth. Oh, wait. Okay. It was higher attendance. For some reason, I thought it said lower attendance. Because I was thinking maybe it was the park passes were too restrictive or something like that. But I guess not. Never mind. But that is going to be interesting later. We got to talk about some discounts that came out.
Oh, we will.
But
we will.
We sure will.
Well, and that was part of it. So we'll go over it then when we talk about that. Yeah. But they did, I believe, say that they need to put butts in hotel rooms there. And my initial thought on that, we got to it with the discounts.
Too expensive.
They're too freaking expensive. I would love to put my butt in one of those hotels. I can't afford it.
Yeah. Maybe even my whole body. Who knows? But
just a butt.
I just get, just butts only. butts plus. Disney plus. Anyway.
I'm excited to see the higher attendance because I feel like that the story has been for a long time that it's lower attendance, higher spending. And that's kind of upsetting because that kind of, you know, there for a while was like, oh, is Disney just for, you know, the one percenters or whatever? And I guess in a way it is kind of true because the hotels are still very expensive, but I mean, higher attendance is good. We want everybody to come to Disney World.
You know what?
In Disneyland.
I say let's raise prices on everything. Let's just drive them up.
Yeah, why not? You want to stay at All Star Movies? Good. Mm-hmm. $300.
There you go. So,
Prospector Craig has it. He'll find that gold.
I'll find that gold.
That's my gold. All right. Well, that's actually all we're going to torture you with for that. So if you want more information on all of the earnings and the call and everything, I'm sure there is or will be an article at www.info.com. Now, babies, listen here. We are halfway to Halloween, my absolute favorite time of year. And lots of people last week were asking about Mickey's Not So Scary tickets, all the info on that. And guess what? We've got it and more. So Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is going to return on select nights August 9th through October 31st, 2024. Wild that it starts the same day as D23 in California. So I guess Craig and myself will not be at the very first party.
Nope.
But that's fine. I'm not upset. That's fine. Tickets go on sale for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party at for Walt Disney World Resort Hotel guests starting May 8th. That is Wednesday, May 8th. And tickets will be available for all other guests starting Wednesday, May 15th. Ticket pricing fluctuates between $119 and $199. So the max price is the same as it was last year, but that base price is $10 more expensive than last year. Mm-hmm. They had to let that price increase creep in there somehow. Mm-hmm. Now, I usually use this event as the official marker for when the Halloween season begins for me here in Orlando, you know, living in Orlando, because obviously you want to try, you know, and get in the spirit and have some sort of costume to go in. So you got to start thinking about that ahead of time. But after this last year, I told myself the official beginning Halloween date for me for the season is July 5th. So we celebrate our Independence Day and then we get on to that good stuff.
I like that.
How do you all feel about it?
Yeah, I like that. Well, I mean, I know, Craig, you've said this before. So I love Halloween, but I love Christmas even more. And
I don't want to hear it till November 5th. Oh,
well, it's November 1st for me. So, I mean, I kind of feel
you're Linda from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah. I am absolutely Linda to my core. But yeah, so you got to start Halloween early. I mean, the only thing I'd say is like August 9th is hot. It's going to be so hot. So, you know, for your costumes,
go light.
August September. I mean, this, you know, you're going to be sweating. So, but no, I'm excited because, yeah, my house will be decorated. At that point, I'll be watching all my Halloween movies on rotation. So, and this kind of lines up with Horror Nights, doesn't it?
Horror Nights is August 31st. I believe it's the last day of August. It's the last Friday of August.
But everybody's starting is the last day. Earlier.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like everybody is a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights will kick off on August 30th, as long as I'm on the 2024 calendar.
30. Yeah, it's, I knew it was the last Friday of August.
Yeah, so, you're still stuck on how many days have 30 and how many have 31.
I don't need to tell everybody in the world that.
It was a leap year.
I think
also?
August has 31, though.
August does have 31, okay. my good friend. Yeah. And
it's only been 39 years
Halloween
of
Horror Nights usually used to start in September, and they just have slowly creep back into August as well now, too. So, I mean, eventually, I think they will pick up to Disney, and it'll get to the point where they're going to be around the same time in mid-August. I feel like that's going to be the point it's going to get to eventually. We're so used to it at this point. I don't care about it starting in August, but I am happy that for the first time ever, since we will be at D23 Expo, we can actually sit back and say, you know what? The first time we get to go to the Halloween party, it's actually going to feel like it's a little bit closer to Halloween rather than the first one. So I apologize for not being the first to get good fireworks videos and parade videos out and all that stuff. But at least maybe it'll change our perspective on the party a little bit more.
I'm kind of looking forward to it because it means we'll be able to approach it a little bit differently. And I think maybe that'll be something a little fresh. We can try new things, you know.
Absolutely.
But in terms of the party, there's not really anything groundbreaking for this year's party, with fan favorite entertainment returning. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse will also be showing off some new outfits. He's got the tuxedo. She's got her dress with little witch stockings. Bruno and Mirabelle will be meeting guests in the Fantasy Garden. I don't understand how Bruno got so associated with Halloween, but apparently he is. I think it's just because they're like, well, he's a creepy guy that lives
because he's like 7 foot three with rats on his back and all that stuff. Oh, whatever.
Okay. Well, when he hears your screams.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Well, there's also going to be a new Descendants party that will be happening inspired by the upcoming Disney Plus movie Descendants, The Rise of Red. I think, is it Julie? Is it,
let's not ask questions that we can't answer.
Oh, I was like, I know, I'm pretty sure that.
I can't tell
Ferris you loves Descendants, I thought.
Probably.
Love a dance party, so.
I liked the first one. It's fine. I didn't love it, but I watched it.
Kristen Chenoweth, so.
Yeah, and her song in it is great.
Sure.
But.
Let me guess. She was very upbeat, very peppy. She hit a smiled real high a lot. Note. She hit a bunch of high notes.
Yeah.
Okay.
She played Maleficent. Yeah, so it was whatever. But. That's fine. Let's talk about Disneyland. Over at Disneyland Resort, Oogie Boogie Bash, a Disney Halloween party will return to Disney California Adventure on 27 select nights starting August 25th, 2024, the earliest that it's ever been, and runs through October 31st. Disney hasn't released any extra details and hasn't said when tickets will go on sale, but expect that information pretty soon. You can view all the dates for Oogie Boogie Bash and Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party at www.info.com. I am pretty excited. There was a trip. I have it like marked off in the calendar where I was going to be out there on the first night of the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Nice.
And since it's like 2 weeks after D23, it feels like it's like almost like too much for me, but there is a part of me still where I'm like, I do really want to go to the Oogie Boogie Bash this year. I didn't go last year. I'm like, if I didn't have this job, I think I'd be an every other year party person.
Why not choose a date in like, you know, late September, mid October, somewhere in there that's just like random and experience it that way.
That's my plan for my personal.
Well, I don't know because I'm so conditioned for us to be the first.
Yeah. I mean, that's a more of an off-air discussion, obviously, than not getting into it. I'm just saying for yourself with enjoyment and like, I'm sorry. Every single time we've gone to this party early or in general, I've just absolutely hated it. I know I'm in the minority with it.
Yeah.
I just don't think that I think that people have become so worried about missing out, and FOMO has taken over the fandom so much that they think they don't actually stop and be like, is this a good experience that I'm getting for the money and time and effort that I put into it? And they just ultimately outweigh it. It's like with May the 4th. It was an awful day at Hollywood Studios. And I mean, I'm glad I was not there for the end of the night where the Millennium Falcon area closes down because there's so many bodies pressing against each other. Like it's the last night of COVID or before COVID is shutting down the parks and everyone's shoving in just so they can stick their lightsabers up in the air. And I love Star Wars, but I'm like, what is happening with it? Everyone has gotten so addicted to, I have to be there for the moment. And I feel like they've forgotten why. Are you being there just because you want to join the hype train with everyone else?
No, I think there's
a community.
There's another element I was going to say. I think you're undervaluing, because you just said it in your sentence before that about, you know, the time and the money and the effort you put in. But that's what that thing, that lightsaber thing, that seeing the other people in the cosplay, that is what some people go there for. I mean, look at Brooke, you know, and I know she's a special case because she is like, it's in her blood or something. She's got a high midichlorian count.
I think that's a lot of Star Wars fans, though.
And,
you know?
I am with you on the fact where I don't like to be body to body, and like, I like functionality, and I like to be able to like do and have experiences, but I do also see a lot of how other people like to experience park. Like, people knock me for just like sitting at Baseline Tap House, and like, I like the people watching of it. It kind of reminds me of like going with my grandma and like sitting there. It's too expensive, drink, you know, whatever. But it's like, I like the feeling, and I like to listen to what people are saying. And like, it's like, I like the vibe, but I do also take that with a grain of salt because I am an annual pass holder. So I didn't pay for a one park, you know, ticket to be able to do that. So, cause I would never do that if that were the case. Hmm. But I don't know. It's hard. Like, I am one of those people where it's like, I don't want just characters, but then I've also seen the effect that a lot of characters can have on environments and places and things like that. So, and right. I don't want to knock the people who are like, all I want are characters.
Or like, okay, so let me throw a couple things out here. Oogie Boogie Bash sells out.
It sells every party.
I mean,
sells
it's
out,
at capacity, every party. And then for me, so I've never experienced it. I absolutely adore Nightmare Before Christmas. I love the Halloween season. My son loves Nightmare Before Christmas. So I think we're going to try to go. That being said, because it sells out, and it's really hard to get tickets too. So it's kind of like you just go when you can go.
It's panic planning.
That's
really,
I think that's hard to grab. I think that's what it is with Oogie Boogie Bash. I think people know that the tickets are going
to
sell out.
You have to
so
make
they
the
have
choice.
To jump yeah. on. They have to jump it, and you have to
it's
get
that
it.
Limited edition and then mentality. I'm just going
to, and that's what I'm saying. I wish that would come to an end. And Oogie Boogie Bash, I think, can be a stellar one. The year that it came back after COVID, that everyone was posting about when all the characters were up on risers doing the, you know, not actual meet and greets, and everything was further on. That seemed like the greatest year, because one of my biggest issues with Oogie Boogie Bash is that it's like, oh, great. You know, you can wait an hour long wait or 2 hour long wait to meet this character that you can only meet here. But then it knocks off everything else you can do during the party. The parade is great. They throw so many different types of food and drinks out at you that you could have there that, I mean, they cover that, and I feel like there's enough unique experiences. They got rid of the god-awful World of Color show that they tried to run the first year that took away from the party time, because you're like, I should be watching this, and then you watched it and said, I regret watching that. So, like, I feel like they've changed enough, but the problem is, for me, it comes in with the characters, and as we've slowly revealed about me over the years, I love seeing the characters. I love getting to meet them. I love snapping a picture with them, but I can't spend money to fly across the country to California to dedicate time to meeting a character that then takes up a third of the entire party. That's insane. And I'm so happy for people who enjoy it, but I do think that what ends up happening is more people just buy it and rush to it now, because if you don't get it, then you're never going to get it. And I don't like that mentality anymore. I
don't like the stress of it. Like, you're true. I mean, you just said it. When you kind of said to me, where you're like, why don't you just pick a random day? And it's kind of like, well, I have to make – you can't – you almost can't, like, because
you
like –
you have to have a hotel. You have to have flights.
Well,
like,
it's the panic about being like, I got to get the ticket when the ticket comes out. And I mean, fortunately, I'm a Magic Key holder, so I assume I'll be able to buy tickets before everybody else. But then that's a big assumption. But
sure.
I tell you what, they're going to go on sale on a Tuesday, and I'm going to sit here and watch you stressed out as we have to put on a show, and you're like, I can't get the tickets.
But There is that element too, where it does not guarantee a night to make. I mean, I've told Craig, this is the last thing I'll say, and then we'll move on. But I did the Star Wars night at Disneyland when I went to Celebration in Anaheim, whatever year that was, like 2 years, 3 years ago, and it was terrible. I said I would never do an after hours event again. And then that Pride Night came out and I was like, well, I'm going to give this a try. And that was great.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then seeing people I know and like seeing the videos and stuff of the Star Wars nights this year, I was like, okay, they really listened to a lot of feedback because there is a lot more happening at this event. And it seemed much more organized than the one I paid $200 to go to. And so it is that sort of where you're like, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, no. I did have that FOMO. Okay,
there was tickets leading up to it. I think they sold out like the day before for the night that I was there for it. And I looked at it. I'm like, there is nothing they can throw at me here to justify the $170. Because then if I want extra food and drinks, I'm spending extra money on all that goodness.
Yeah,
and you had to pre-order it like at noon to make sure that it was on time and available so you didn't have to wait in a super long line, which – that's just an awful experience in that way. No fireworks for that one, which like just made me want to pull my hair out. I'm like, for $170, I get to watch Captain Phasma do the walk through Disneyland again. Like,
I can't believe we had
that at Hollywood Studios for all those years. Yeah. And I ignored it most of the time then, too. So I don't know. I just, again, I think it's that I'm happy when people in their fandoms, they find it. But I would like if we could all do a hard reset on Disney and be like, what do I love about it? Is it these special parties or is it just I'm afraid that if I don't go, then I'm missing something spectacular? And, you know, let's maybe we all be smarter about how we spend our money with Disney as well, in that way.
I mean, that's how we're talking to the wrong group. I don't know.
That's how we approach a Halloween party right there is what you just said. That's how we should do it this year. No. But if you thought we were done talking about Halloween, child, no. Disney Cruise Line will be back. Halloween on the high sea. Sorry, I missed a word here. Disney Cruise Line will bring back Halloween on the high seas for select sailings in September and October, including Mickey's Masquerade, Trick or Treating, and specialty eats and drinks. Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, and Donald Duck all have new costumes with Mickey and Minnie channeling bats. It's freaking bats. And Donald becoming the Gentleman Spider, or as Steve Bonnet would say, the Gentleman Spider.
Thank you.
Those costumes look, are they like cycling through? They kind of look like the Disneyland ones from last year or a couple years ago.
I like it. Donald's is pretty unique. He's got technically 10 like, well, four. He's got 8 arms, but then 2 legs. I mean, Donald's like, he's rocking that. He's rocking. He looks. I like that he's got like the fingerless gloves. I'm trying to think of what they're called. They're called fingerless gloves.
I think they're called fingerless gloves.
Yeah, I like that.
So, he lifts, bro.
No, I think he's like more of like a chimney sweep. Like he's a proper gentleman spider in that way. So
that way.
I've only been on a ship when it was like Halloween time, but not really there to experience that because it was a Dreams Unlimited Travel, like Agent Fam. You've done it, yeah? Both of you? Or how?
Only that one. I've only done the same exact one that you've done, yeah.
I thought you'd done like a normal one.
I've done Christmas like
Christmas
4 times now. Okay. I've done Marvel Day at Sea. I have not done more than one Halloween.
I'd like to do it and like commit 100% to it. Like we go and we have the costumes, we do the whole thing.
It's similar to the other, like it's similar to Christmas where it's like
Halloween
one day
at sea. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, see, you know, you got your one day of activities and I don't feel like the costume, like I don't feel like it's people get into it. Like kids dress up and the trick or treating is literally just table set up in the atrium, but it's free candy.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the time we were on, it was more about seeing the Halloween tree ceremony and then seeing the Masquerade, and both of those were great, and I enjoyed it, and I liked the extra little decorations around. Mm-hmm. It's been one of those things we've never been able to get, like, the right price during that time period when they're actually doing these sailings, and eventually I'll go back on it again, but I really liked it. But, I mean, also, too, Christmas. That's something else.
It's I mean, magic. I've never even seen, other than your video stuff, the Christmas stuff. So I'd like to see that sometime. But
makes me warm.
Well, we can finally move on from Halloween. If you are what'd you say?
For now.
There you go. Dang it.
Where's
the kazoo?
It doesn't really work.
Leave them alone.
I'd like to point out that a guest at Disney's Hollywood Studios yelled out to me on the 35th anniversary, yelled out, "More slide whistle." But then on that same day, a gentleman came up and said, "You're doing a great job, but maybe put the slide whistle away." So you take the good with the bad.
Sorry, I'm just going to call you out because I don't know if you were in the moment. That man was Adam the Woo who came up and told him to put
away
the slide
whistle. That's funny. I'm surprised it came from him. He seems like a more slide whistle kind of guy.
You know, I think just on that very first episode, Rhino pulled out that slide whistle maybe just one or two too many times. Just
like he said, he did say... You were better about it. He did say you were better about it.
And Adam complimented Rhino's hosting very first. He came up to me and said that he really enjoyed the direction we've been moving in lately, and then complimenting Rhino,
should do the slide whistle next.
You really didn't come up in that, but I mean, considering he was talking about this reboot, I think he meant you too. It's Rhino. Rhino is doing a very excellent. Excellent job as hosting everything here. Well, so even better today with the teleprompter.
Now I
was mad we started late, but he's like he's way more engaged now that he's not looking down.
I feel like my eyes are still not in the right spot, but it's because I got this the box that this teleprompter it's a tripod that holds a monitor essentially. The box that it came into had 15 holes when it got to my house, and I was like, well, that can't be good. And so I think it was missing pieces, but it also has the kind where like it can only be raised at certain levels. I think I have to squish the feet together higher. So it needs to be just a little bit higher.
This was assembled like seconds before the show. So I think we're doing pretty good.
Proving all of the people right who say the Diz does everything last second and poorly. That's what we do.
Cue the outro.
I think if anything, I think we should cue Hannah starting to talk a little bit this episode. What do you think about that, Rhino?
No, I don't want to. Just kidding. I've got this little thing.
I hate you.
If you hated the slide whistle,
I wanted the kazoo because I wanted the spaceship noise. But anyway, if you are one of our Patreon supporters out there, then you may remember last week Hannah bailed on our Patreon post show to go to a media event. Mm-hmm. Hannah, is that a ghost behind you? Because all I have to say to you is boo.
Hey,
just
boo.
Kidding. Anyway, her media event was a first look inside one of the new cabins coming to Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. Now, let's go over live to Martini Mom herself, Hannah Anderson, with some hard-hitting questions. Miss Anderson, what did you think of those new cabins, and what were some of your favorite details?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked, Rhino. So I love Fort Wilderness. I was feeling kind of testy about the new cabins. I have fond memories of the old ones. They're very rustic. They, you know, lots of cedar and... you know, log cabin look. And so these felt maybe a little too fancy for me and my style at Fort Wilderness. And they are obviously very beautiful. The layout is incredible. It makes a lot of sense. I feel like the bedroom has more space. The bathroom is much larger. So I'll talk about the pictures there on the screen. So the artwork is... I mean, I think maybe the best part. So we're looking at right now, this is in the living room area. When you first walk in the door, this is to the left. This is the sofa that is a convertible Murphy bed. To me, these are the better Murphy beds at Disney. Like, these are more comfortable. So as you can see, you pull it down so it's not like a mattress that folds up. And then you've got this very cute artwork on the inside. That is a nod to the classic Mickey cartoon, Mickey's trailer that you can see. Very, very cool. And then this is looking at the kitchen. This area feels maybe a little bit more cramped, in my humble opinion. I think because it does have this nice dining room table. The big winner here is you have an actual microwave an actual like stove oven combination.
It's a very nice looking kitchen. Honestly,
it is.
After we had to have our kitchen remodeled because of mold, it looks very similar to this, minus the tiles.
Oh, so, they consulted your kitchen when building the...
I'm sure they did. The only thing that I ever question about kitchens like this and all the cabins is, do they really need this much storage in here?
No, they do.
Okay. Explain to me.
So Martini Mom likes to pack a lot of stuff. And, you know, sometimes I host people over at my cabin. So you might want to, you know, get out some appetizers, make some drinks, and, you know, you got to have your storage. But no, I mean, especially with this being Disney Vacation Club, like a lot of people eat in their cabin. So they like make full on meals or they grill outside. And anyway, so I mean, and there are, like, in all the cabinets, it's all the same amenities. So they provide, like, baking dishes, cookie sheets, you know, utensils, cups, you know, plates, all that stuff.
I don't know. It still looks like a lot of cabinets, and they could have used a bigger actual kitchen table, because that one that seats four, that does not look large enough for most families that want to sit there and eat, in my opinion. I wasn't there, so I'm more going on you.
I feel like it is. The only thing, the cabin sleeps up to six. And so they were saying, well, the dining room can accommodate six people if you pull either of those side tables and use them as a stool. And I was like, wow, that's a bold choice.
I like to put, my butt where my drinks were earlier.
If you sit on the side table.
I was like, has anyone tested this? And like, what's the weight limit? Like, I don't want to be the person who like sits on that and breaks it. But, or there are two chairs in the living room area that you can't see in the shot. So you could pull them over there. It would be very tight. I think that the idea is that for me, I want to sit and dine on the porch outside. Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe this is more of like, you know, okay. I think most people do that.
I dig that. But it will take us into the bedroom.
Okay. Welcome to my crib. It's where the magic happens. Isn't that where they used to that's what they used to say on MTV Cribs? Anyways.
Rhino was too young for that show. So,
yeah. I'm too young. I don't understand your reference.
So the big difference here, this is a queen size bed, and as opposed to the older version of the cabins, you can actually walk all the way around the bed now. Yeah. There's a bedside table on both sides.
Plugs that's on actually, the other side.
That's nice. Actually important. The last bed was like pushed up to the wall, and that's
you had to like roll over somebody.
Felt like I was in college.
A little bit,
The bouncing over, like you push and
you shimmy down the bottom. So that's a huge improvement. This space feels much bigger. There's a bigger TV in there. There's more, windows in here.
Bunk beds look cooler.
The bunk beds are way cool.
That's cool.
The artwork is amazing. It's from another classic Disney cartoon, where the, chipmunks are storing up, acorns for the winter. Mm-hmm. The cool part here is if you can see, there's a little calendar just like there is in the cartoon, but in this one, the date is November 19th, and that's when Fort Wilderness first opened. So I like that little touch. Even more so, this is the artwork that's like right beside the bed. You can see probably the highlight has got to be that River Country postcard there on the bottom left. Wow. But some very cute like letters to Mickey and Clarice, the love interest of
Chip and Dale.
Yeah.
And
maybe
Hannibal
both
Lecter.
Chip and Dale. Yeah. So this is very cool. I am not sure on that note, the artwork is very cool. I'm not sure which art pieces are going to be available, but I did ask, and you will be able to buy some of these prints in the very near future.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, so now going in – one more thing about the bedroom is there is a closet in there that is kind of built into the dresser, but there's a very large TV. There is a closet in there. So, again, plenty of storage space. On to the bathroom. So the bathroom is much bigger, much lighter. There is no – window in here, so no natural light. It is a single vanity, but out in the hallway, there is an additional vanity with a sink and a big, very cool light up mirror.
Okay, I was just going to say, because the other bathroom, that area used to be huge. So that's why I was like, it's weird that shrunk down
but
so much.
But the old one, it was much bigger, but it still was one sink.
Yeah, like one sink, but a white long counter.
Yeah, for sure. Good storage in here. It is a walk-in shower. Kind of, it was hard to get a picture of that. So no bathtub combo, walk and shower. Very nice. It has one of the detachable shower heads. I feel like when you have little ones, that's becomes very important. Yes,
absolutely.
Otherwise it's basically impossible. You're just waterboarding your child.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, we learned that very much once we started traveling and going to hotels that only had a shower and then also, you know, didn't have the actual, that. And so you're like, you're holding your little mini bathtub up to the shower. So that way it fills up and then set it down on the ground. Terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah. Also that little stool that's, I guess, becoming like super popular and common at Disney. So it's a little, step stool that just tucks in underneath there. So your little kids can
squatty potty.
Wash their, or you could it honestly could be a squatty potty. You just push it over to the toilet right there. So I, you know, much more open, modern. I love the artwork. I also really liked, it was really hard to capture it in pictures because even though we got to tour the cabin, it is not at Fort Wilderness yet. Yeah. So, it's not like you can open up the windows and get that great view, but there are floor to ceiling windows, in that living room area. Hmm. And even in the bedroom, there are windows up high and they're vaulted ceilings.
Yeah.
So I think, not only is that going to make it feel much bigger, but I also just think like Fort Wilderness is such like, for me, a little oasis. It feels completely different. It feels like you're not in Disney property. You're out in the woods. And so I think being able to open up the blinds, let the light come in, feel like you're in the wilderness. I think that's going to be awesome.
I still think the design of where the TV is in the living room is terrible.
Oh, it is.
It's weird. But you know,
because if you're going to sleep, you can't watch the TV.
That's true.
I guess the hope is that, you know, most people are going to be using the bedroom and it's just maybe some people are out there. So it's not as big of a priority.
If I had kids, I would not sleep in the same room as my kids. Well, I don't want to sleep in the same room as my parents.
You don't choose to. It just happens, unfortunately.
I mean, I feel like the parents are going to want the nice queen bed in the bedroom and kids are going to want the bunk bed. So it's really it's really the awkward middle children that are stuck out on the
Murphy bed. Or drunk uncle who decides to stay over.
Hey,
it's me.
Yeah. Or drunk aunt.
Hey.
Yep.
Women can drink too. It's 2024.
What? Not me. The other very cool thing is, I didn't get to see it, but supposedly the porch is going to have two lounge chairs as well. They didn't have that in the past. I think that's going to be a nice addition. You're still going to have a charcoal grill. Couple of important things here. The cabins are, it's a one-to-one replacement. So every cabin, every loop that has cabins is going to get a new cabin. So they're not taking away cabins. You're not getting more cabins. The location's not changing. It's a one-for-one.
Just swapping them out as they go.
Yeah. Square footage is exactly the same.
It's on the same plot. So it has to still match that. Just going a little bit higher to allow that extra light in and it just, you know, slight changes to the layout inside, but not super crazy. I don't want to like go on too much about these because I feel like so many people so many people have made up their mind about like, oh, we hate the inside. It doesn't look like you're camping. I will scream about it up and down. Getaway cabins have now become more popular over the last however many years. And the insides of these they're tiny. They're much smaller than these cabins, but it's the same thing. Light colored woods, looks very clean, looks very, very contemporary, very modern. And that is the direction that's moving in with glamping, and Disney is catching up on it. It's like when we were screaming years and years ago when Universal started stripping a lot of theming out of their rooms, going with one accent wall that was always like something to tie in with the resort, but everything else felt very under themed, just like, you know, clean and like you want most hotels in big cities. And it's like, then Disney started doing it. It's like, well, yes, that is the trend that it's moving in. This is also the trend right now with cabins like this. They want it to look clean. They want it to look comfortable. I get that the old ones are great, but they were dark and it's one of those things where it's just the style has changed. And eventually they're going to redo them again and people are going to be sad when this style goes away the same way they were for the old one. So, I feel like the thing about Fort Wilderness cabins, and it's going to be cheesy, I think it's about the memories you make in them with the people that you share time in with them more than anything else. And you can make that hand gesture, Rhino. You can make that up and down. But I think about the times that I've spent in a cabin with you and with friends over.
Yeah,
and
the rumors are
we're having drinks and just hanging out. And
maybe making
s'mores, driving golf carts.
The thing to remember the most, you know, while you're talking about this, whether you like it or not, like, they didn't just randomly do it. You know, how many times are you given a survey? How many – every freaking step you take, you get a survey. So, like, there must have been some feedback to guide them into this direction. Like, as much as I think I still prefer the older one, I think mentally for me, it's hard to say, like, oh, well, Disney's catching up with style, just because – I think Disney for so long has kind of prided itself on being like, you know, here age relives fond memories of the past, you know, whatever. It feels like it is would be a little more time capsule related stuff. But with that said, the feedback of the guests who stay in these time capsule like places could have been, I don't like it because it feels dirty or old or whatever. And so, like, if the people who are actually spending the money are saying in the survey it needs to be updated, then that's what they're listening
to. I'll tell you what, go to a national park that has, you know, actual like cabins that are, or, you know, even a hotel that's inside the park that's not extraordinarily priced. Like, I mean, they're all extraordinarily priced. No, like when we went to Sequoia, we spent, I think it was $500 a night to stay in the hotel that was right up in the mountain area.
Yeah.
And these rooms were absolute dumps. And I would have been begging for something even like the old cabins, let alone the new ones that are coming and have that same look to it. So it's like there, when you stay in a time capsule, I promise it is not good. You stay in it because of like, okay, this is giving me I'm staying right in the action. But if you can have the best of both worlds, if you can have something nice, then go with that. Like,
Well, so I'm sorry. If you are interested in booking the Fort Wilderness cabins, if you're not a DVC member, you can. So they're going to do a phase opening. So the first cabins are going to open to the public on July 1st. And then if you're a DVC member, you can start booking as early as July 1st.
But you can already buy into the property though, right?
Yes, okay. You can. So if you can go ahead and, you know, buy points at Fort Wilderness, you can make that your home resort. You can book stays starting July 1st. If you're not a DVC member, such as myself, and wanting to stay at a cabin, your soonest arrival date is going to be September 27th. And that's just because they're, you know,
I was like, they better have it open for Halloween stuff because that's the
it's going to take time.
Can I throw out one other hot topic about Fort Wilderness really quick? Last week, there was some updates to the policies on RV camper rentals and golf carts. And this is, I just love Fort Wilderness. And this is very hot topic. So now you used to be able to rent an RV camper golf cart from an outside company. They would come drop it off for you. Now, if you're going to do that, there are three companies that have a contract or relationship with Disney and they're approved. Those are the only three that you're allowed to rent a camper that is not yours and have them bring it, drop it off, pick it up. And then golf carts have to have an insurance policy now. I won't get into the details, but just things to keep in mind. Like for me, I'll just go and tell you, I have a Halloween reservation at Fort Wilderness. Ooh. I am booked with a company that is not one of the three companies who usually supplies a golf cart that, you know, is not mine, and I don't know if it has insurance or not. So I got to figure that out. So anyways, if you have Fort Wilderness stays coming up soon, just something to think about.
Okay.
That's it for Fort Wilderness.
That's it. I want to stop talking about this now.
As Hannah would say, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. So there is also something else. Craig just tried to get me to cut it, and I said, absolutely not. this isn't a DCL show, but Craig does write the outline of the script. And if he wants to talk about ceramic mugs, he said, this is what he wrote. Then he will force me to talk about ceramic mugs. And now how the tables have turned that I'm forcing him to talk about it because he just told me to cut it. But, I mean, I also like ceramic mugs, but not to the extent that he does. But I mean,
we all do.
He's in Ceramics Anonymous. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I've blown his cover, and that's very bad.
Defeats the purpose of the Anonymous.
But well, anyway, now you have to move. Disney released more information about the Haunted Mansion parlor coming. I also wore this shirt because of this, so that's why I don't want to cut it.
No.
Disney released more information about Haunted Mansion parlor coming to the Disney Treasure. The new info was about the Portrait Gallery and an aquarium with ghost fish based on Rolly Crumb's designs for the Museum of the Weird. The news that had Craig flustered was the drinkware. Two of the characters featured in the Haunted Mansion parlor, the Mariner and the Bride. Oh, I've got a joke in here. Don't you worry. The Mariner and the Bride will be turned into Disney Cruise Line exclusive commemorative mugs that will debut on board the Disney Treasure. Now, if Universal Studios would fire back with a Kevin Costner Waterworld-inspired Mariner
oh
mug, I wouldn't be upset.
I wouldn't.
But the Disney ceramic mugs will appear to be carved from the worn wooden planks of a ghost ship. Ship, everybody, which is pretty fun. They specifically said these are the first, all capital letters, first in a series coming to the Disney Treasure. Also, the wording of Disney Cruise Line exclusive instead of saying Disney Treasure exclusive would be a sign that the Haunted Mansion Parlor will, in fact, make its way to the Disney Destiny, if not other ships. Honestly, this has me even more excited for the ship. I don't hate the Wish. I like the Wish, but this seems like a refined version of
for
that
sure.
And is appealing to me like aesthetically and with offerings a lot more, especially this idea of these like really, really cool, like it's taking that theming, it feels like, to another level and really trying to hit on the like real diehard, like Disney fan
people.
You know, this, talk about FOMO.
I mean, this, yes, I'm already like, I hope they have these for sale on the media cruise that we will probably do. Otherwise, I'm going to have to get on one of the first sailings because I'm going to need
we got
to
get both.
I'm going to need them. And I am so happy that someone was listening when it's like, okay, you're bringing a Jungle Cruise inspired lounge. You're bringing this on a mansion bar. Hopefully we get mugs with them. And yes, we are. And will I spend an absurd amount of money having them? Yes, I will.
And
will I regret
that.
It? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. They don't always hold their value, but you know you can always at least sell them for what they were purchased for.
Well,
and that's okay with me.
The Haunted Mansion ones, I find that I like their designs a lot the most. Like the gargoyle, we had the busts were the D20 or the Club 33 ones, and then like they had they've had like other designs.
And they can
the years,
be part of your Halloween decor. You know?
Exactly.
Or year round, or you can bring
keep
them
it out year round. Like,
special occasions, you know.
Anytime I eat fish sticks, I'm pulling out that Mariner. So.
Amazing. You can call him Gordon.
It's a fish sticks and Mariner type of night. What are you putting in that Mariner? An oyster shell beer? You got to get one of those oyster conditioned beers. I forget what they're called.
Baby, I only eat oysters when I'm with you.
Baby. Kissy, kissy.
I can't get so far again.
Before we end on Fantasy Springs Fun, we have a couple housekeeping items to go over, and I want to talk about discounts. So Disneyland is going to be releasing a three-day ticket offer where guests can buy three-day, one-park-per-day tickets starting at $149 for children and $249 for adults for admission Monday through Thursday, or as low as $199 for children and $299 for adults for admission any day, including weekends. I feel like that's a great deal because the Monday through Thursday, that's like $75 a day. Mm-hmm. But these limited time tickets will be available for purchase beginning May 29th, 2024, and can be redeemed on any three eligible days from June 10th through September 26th. There will also be some hotel discounts, including up to 25% off select stays at the Grand Californian, Disneyland Hotel and Villas at Disneyland Hotel, when staying four nights or longer, or up to 20% off on select stays Sunday through Thursday nights at the same hotels without a minimum night stay. This is also for stays June 10th through September 26th, 2024, and can be reserved May 29th through September 26th. These discounts, combined with Pixar Fest running through the summer until August 4th, it feels like very telling that it might be a great time to visit Disneyland because I bet that summer crowd is going to be really low if there are two of these at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously know that locals are still going and using their annual passes. That's always going to happen. But this to me is Ken Pot Rock screaming, like, please come and stay.
Yeah.
at Disneyland. We have hotel rooms available for you. We'll give you some money off on that. We have all this happening. We have Pixar Fest. We want you in these parks. Please, please, please come and do this. I mean, awesome. I wish I could go back and do that. I don't think it's in the cards for me this summer to take advantage of it, but it's very, very tempting.
It 23, it's fine.
I know. That's part of it. So I just got my my latest companion certificate for Delta, and Kylie said immediately, she's like, we're not going to New York City and we're not going to Southern California. And I was like, okay. We'll do a national park somewhere then.
Okay.
So in California.
The only one we haven't done is Redwoods and then technically Death Valley. I know that's easier to get to from Vegas than it is from the California side. Gotcha. So we got a couple more.
Your accent just came out.
I say Vegas like it's a slur.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Vegas. You can have a bagel.
What do you mean?
In Vegas.
Which one are you dating? What do you mean?
Sorry.
Are you
Las
with Elizabeth?
Vegas. Is that better?
Las Vegas.
We won't go to Las Vegas.
Viva.
Viva.
Rock Vegas. Oh, I thought I was doing. See, I was doing Flintstones.
Baby.
Hannah, also, I believe you have some information on Adventures by Disney, as the insiders call it, ABD.
ABD. You might have heard of it. So you can start booking your 2025 Adventures by Disney vacations starting today. And the cool part is they have some really great discounts. So you can save up to $500 on select trips, itineraries. You can also receive reduced pricing on your third and fourth guest on the Costa Rica, Greece, and Wyoming adventures. And then the best part of all is if you book with Dreams Unlimited Travel, you can also combine this discounts of up to $1,300 with the Dreams Unlimited Travel credit. So, yeah. So anyways, all that to say, that is like up to potentially a $2,000 savings.
That's pretty good for an ABD. Yeah.
I mean, there's still very expensive trips, but any money you can get back from it, like, go ahead.
Yeah. Please. So, the only thing I would say is that these discounts they're pretty limited. So if you have any interest whatsoever, go ahead and, you know, reach out today, tomorrow. Just reach out to your Dreams Unlimited Travel agent or email john@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com.
Yeah. I also know, too, that they're pushing heavy that they kind of like refreshed the Central Europe trip. And
you did that one.
Prague. Right? Yeah. Prague, Salzburg, and Vienna. And I mean, I have videos still out there from when I did it in 2015, youtube.com/WDWinfo. Just search Central Europe and it's going to be like one of the first things to pop up to kind of see, look at what that trip's like. And it's honestly incredible. Mm-hmm. And I like so many of the places I visited during that trip, I'm like, those are places I would return to immediately if given the choice. So I know they're like pushing that pretty heavy in the marketing, and it's for a very good reason. It's an incredible trip. You can also do it on your own. I'm never going to lie to you about that. Once you do a Europe once, I don't feel like you need Adventures by Disney as much. It's a good ease into traveling.
I think it depends on where you're going.
I think it can depend on where you're going. But for me, Adventures by Disney was the first time I traveled to Europe. Mm-hmm. And that was super, super nice because we knew nothing. And to literally land in the Czech Republic and the first thing seeing a familiar face, literally an adventures guide that we had before was the first person to greet us at the airport. It was like, okay, we're safe now. And then after a week and a half, you're like, okay, Europe is basically just America where not as many people speak
with
English,
but
with older history and castles and fun like that. So then once you get it, it's like you can figure out the same kind of stuff. But the selling point with ABD is they take care of hauling your luggage around.
That's huge.
It's huge. They set up all the internal transportation for you, and they do open doors.
You stay in the best hotels. You get access to exclusive tours. The food is incredible. There's a lot of food included. So
And with Europe trips, there's for drinkers. I know not everyone drinks, but for drinkers, when we did that Europe trip, we did not have a meal that they didn't put on that there was not unlimited alcohol thrown at us. So
I mean, that's a lot of
money. I drank a lot of beer. I left that trip like gaining 30 pounds from German food and Czech Republic food and
drinking.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Loved it.
Well, there you have it. I want to talk about that side of the world a little bit as well. Well, a little further over, but
a little,
a little car ride over. Fantasy Springs, you heard of it? That yeah. sounded really condescending. Anyway, video leaked last week of Anna and Elsa's Frozen Journey.
Come on, Anna. Just say Anna.
Anya.
How many times do I say Rosario and yeah, you're like, and it's Rosario. Anna. The movie's been out since 2013.
Only seen it once. Video leaked last week of Anna and Elsa's Frozen Journey showing that it's easily the best Frozen ride built and looks absolutely ridiculous with beautiful animatronics and no projected faces that I could see. Disney has released new high-quality images from this attraction, and each one is better than the last. But that's not all. They also released images from Peter Pan's Neverland Adventure, a screen-based attraction where, in the one photo, Peter Pan looks psychotic and a little bit scary.
A little.
The attraction still looks cute nonetheless, though. So, as good as these attractions look, it might be Rapunzel's Lantern Festival that will be the standout because those photos look absolutely beautiful. Honestly, this entire area looks so cute, really well done. And it's crazy that these like three attractions all together in this like one land and you're like, when was the last time we really had like this like really kind of incredible area built? And I know what you're going to say, Galaxy's Edge. And my problem with Galaxy's Edge is that I wish it hadn't leaned into the hot Florida sun so much. Well, in the California Bryce sun, but I like Galaxy's Edge.
I'm sorry. I feel like I'm going to make one last pitch after seeing all these images come out and seeing the, we should start a podcast. So Disney released the little video too, because I think some people started leaking it out.
Yeah.
With the Tangled boat ride where basically the boat goes all the way around the lantern scene. I have made the pitch now two or three times. Can we please replace Walt Disney World's It's a Small World, an inferior version of that attraction, with this?
Well, there goes
literally look at this and be like, It's a Small World at Walt Disney World is better than this?
I mean, we already have the restrooms.
The restrooms are already attached. Yeah. And I said Pinocchio's Village House then becomes the Snuggly Duckling. It's all the ducks are in a row.
I do love. And
did you wear the Donald Duck shirt to be able to make that joke?
Yeah, he did. I think he did.
Maybe
he's three for three.
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, that would be fine as long as she give me Small World somewhere else.
It's not going away from Disneyland. Not going away from Disneyland Paris. You still have it.
Listen, Disneyland lost Carousel of Progress. It's about time they got a legacy attraction from Walt Disney World. Yeah.
Yes, I completely.
I see what you did there.
No, I completely think it needs to go. It is a great attraction. It is perfect for families, but this is the future. Yeah. It's a Small World is not driving people into the parks. It's keeping people returning. This, where you're looking at it and you're saying, "Is this is this a ride or is this directly from the movie?" And the photo.
Yeah.
How is this going to look once you're actually there?
There's a part in the leaked ride through, or I was it leaked? I don't know. The video that like vertical video of the Frozen attraction.
Anna
falls down on her knees. Like she's watching it and the boat's going backwards.
Yeah.
And there's a part where I'm like, oh, you know, all these nice animatronics. But then she does that movement where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
wow. I've never seen an animatronic. You know, except for Abraham Lincoln, go from seating to standing up, that I was just like, I mean, she went backwards, but it's still one of those where I was like, wow.
Elsa's losing it the ice shards shoot up, and I'm sorry for spoilers for some people. I mean, it's all out there at this point, and it's also different to write. Yeah, it's based on the movie, but you see this stuff, and you're like, this is literally next level. This is like, I am just so blown away by how it all looks. Like, I need to get to Tokyo Disneyland at some point to see all this. I'm going to wait a little while. I'm going to push it off. I don't want to go in 2025, but I will go eventually. They're doing the media previews this week for this. And then it's the, where's our invitation?
Well, I get it. It's because I didn't go to Hong Kong. Now I'm never going to get invited to another international park. Sorry. My friend has cancer. I didn't want to get sick. Well, on that sad note, that's a wrap.
I'm just kidding.
You can keep talking about it.
No, I don't know
it
if there's anything
sad
else to
for
say.
Our attractions. That's all I'll say. Is it just like, you know, we have all these classic dark ride attractions
here. We had a garden
here.
Open at Epcot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we get stuff.
You need to calm down and be grateful. Okay. Yeah. It makes me sad that, like, this is a classic dark ride attraction with animatronics, like, not all of its screens, and it is beautiful and technologically advanced. And just, I'm not sure we'll ever.
Yeah. I mean,
like this, or it'll be 10, 15 years from now.
It's a different situation because of Oriental Land Company owning those theme parks and licensing Disney with it. So I think the key takeaways from this is, one, we do have some of the, like, similar attractions. Like, we have our Frozen Ever After. A big step in the right direction would be Disney surprising all of us and saying, and the same thing for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, saying, you know, these animatronics with the projected faces, we're going to switch them out and bring actual good animatronics in these. And that's, like, that's already a huge leap forward. But the other, the biggest takeaway for me is, for anyone who doesn't think that Walt Disney Imagineering still has it in them to bring these attractions to life, they do. I wish it was a different situation where we could have them in our domestic parks, but they're able to still create these lands, even with them stripped away, even without Joe Rohde, it's still coming to life. But sucks that it's not in ours.
Looking,
I'm sorry.
No. Looking at, with everything you're saying and looking at that, those pictures and that video of that stuff, does it not make you more excited for Tiana's Bayou Adventure?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I think that's going to be our first attraction where we are getting these animatronics, like the Beauty and the Beast attraction at I don't remember what park
Tokyo.
It's in.
Well,
they get everything. But I think we are getting, we're about to start getting a little bit of that, and so I hope, you know, it kind of makes me, I was already excited, but it makes me even more excited to be able to experience that see that sort of, like, real next generation animated animatronics coming to life. You know what I mean? Like, I know we got reused ones in Rise of the Resistance and stuff like that, but these are like, these are the things that when I was a kid that you were, like, stunned over, and now I'm an adult and I'm looking forward to having that feeling again.
Yeah.
I think we're moving in the right direction. I think we can make whatever jokes we want about World Celebration and what went wrong with Epcot and budget slashes, all of that, and kind of cheaping out on reusing animatronics, doing stuff like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which isn't impressive to a lot of people. I still love that ride. I think it's cute, even if it wasn't as good as it
Disneyland
could be.
Disneyland, I wish we had that queue like they have at Disneyland.
That queue is like
though.
A pole attraction.
Yeah, and I think that, but there you go. I mean, they refined it throughout there.
They did.
And you're just like, Disneyland!
I'm hoping this is our benchmark where we've hit the point we did at the Florida parks, and now with marquee attractions moving forward, we're going to do them on this level. And that's not to say everything's going to be impressive. We still have a need for those lesser rides that eat up capacity.
Yeah,
you
sure.
still always need
Shows,
new spinner
like that,
rides and little things like that. That's still necessary, but with big ticket attractions, I hope this is what it is moving forward. I hope the Encanto attraction we get eventually is on the same level as one of these attractions out there. I hope that's the path we're moving forward. And I'm getting behind it. Maybe it's just me hyping myself up for it, hoping for the best, but I feel like we're about to change. We're turning.
D23 is right around the corner.
We
that's
are.
That's true.
And you know, it's
kind of getting me a little more excited about what could be talked about there.
And I know people want what's your fight against Universal? They're building a brand new park that's so innovative and technological and crazy. And Rhino and I talk about it a lot on the Universal show. That park's going to blow us away. But a shift in the culture at Disney in terms of how they approach building attractions here on out, even if they're not building massive lands nonstop, building new theme parks, if they say this is the standard we want to hit moving forward and let's start working on implementing that, that's a huge response there. It's, well, I mean, because I will always make the argument, you can always build more new parks, but someone also has to staff those parks. And we only have so many people in Orlando who are willing to do it.
And housing crisis.
And a lot of that stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, in that note too, I do have an episode of Tap House Talks coming up that is sort of in that vein where we talk about, it's not necessarily retaliation I want to see from Disney for Universal. It's like, I want to see inspiration come from it.
You know,
and so it's,
that's beautiful.
It's, we talk about it more like, we talk about
it. Yeah, I mean, it is.
I shed one tear while I did it, but it was just because I was hot. But the
sweat.
It's just more about being like, I want Disney to innovate, not retaliate. And it's all, so yeah. It's kind of about singing the praises of the two entities and how, right, I'd like to see them, this one now play off of the other one. But that's coming out. That's in the future. Maybe next week. Who knows? I don't know. But that's a wrap for this show. Don't forget about Dreams Unlimited Travel when planning your next Disney vacation. And thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We couldn't do it without you. Stay tuned. If you are a Patreon supporter, well, don't stay tuned to this stream. You have to go to a different stream. But check patreon.com/DizUnlimited. And on there, you're going to find a link to our Patreon post show. And we'll see you over there. If you are listening to this podcast, we do ask that you subscribe so you get the newest episodes automatically. And when you have time, if you want to rate and review us, that's great. If it's positive, even better. If it's not, maybe don't take the time to rate and review. I'm just kidding. that is going to do it for this week's show. Yeah, I can't handle it right now. I'm in therapy. Drop your outro catchphrase in the comments below. But this week's is coming from Rebel with a Twist 13. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks for the next live Diz Unlimited podcast. But until then, remember, secrets in the sauce. That is a Fried Green Tomatoes quote, and I appreciate that so much. So thank you for that. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next whatever time. Ruined it at the end.